document a drama of an actual crime. For the next 30 minutes, in cooperation with the Los Angeles Police Department, we will travel step by step on the side of the law to an actual case transcribed to official police files. From beginning to end, from crime to punishment, Dragnet is the story of your police force in action.
Tuesday, July 7th, it was hot in Los Angeles. We were working the night watch out of homicide detail. My partner's Frank Smith, the boss of Pat Brown, chief detective. My name's Friday. I was on my way into work, and it was 4:58 p.m. when I got to room 42. Homicide.
John, is that you?
Yeah. Been here long?
No, I just got in. Sure, beautiful day, isn't it?
Yeah, summer's really good, isn't it?
I say my saving time makes a difference. Got a lot more time, it seems like. Made me think about my vacation.
What are you doing a couple of weeks, aren't you?
Yeah, first part of August.
Mm-hmm. Figured out where you're going yet?
Yeah, Faye and I talked it out. You know, Joe?
Oh, what's that?
I think maybe I had Armin figured wrong.
Armin? That's your brother-in-law?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cynthia, Faye and I got to talking where we're going to spend the vacation. Faye wants us up to Big Bear. I'm saying Mexico.
Yeah.
You know, I figured it'll fix him. I hear the yellows are hitting pretty good.
The what?
Yellows hit up.
Oh, you don't fix much, no, I don't like it all, you know.
Well, they're supposed to be hitting pretty good, but they can't see Mexico. And Armin doesn't chime in and say he thinks Mexico's a great idea.
Well, that's well.
Yeah. Tells Faye all about the beaches down there, how good the food is, all about the air healthy. You know, really sells it.
Well, that's where you're going, huh?
No, Faye didn't buy it. Going to the mountains.
Well, fix is fucking pretty good up there, too, isn't that what I read, I guess? I don't know.
Both of them. Oh, Armin, how do you like that guy? He should surprise me.
Yeah, maybe he's going to work out, huh?
Yeah.
I'll get it.
Okay.
Homicide Friday. Yes, sir, it is. I beg your pardon, could you talk a little louder? Yes, sir.
Uh-huh.
Yes, sir. Well, when was that?
I see.
When?
Yes, sir.
What was that address again?
All right, I have it.
Yes. Yes, sir, that's right. We'll be right out.
Right. Bye.
Well, we got one to roll on. Get nothing on the Hollywood. The man on the phone gave his name as Henry Wagner. He said that he'd come home from work and found that his wife was gone. He said on the phone that he'd found a note demanding ransom and cautioning him against calling the police. 5:22 p.m. Frank and I arrived at the house on Temple Hill Avenue. We parked the car down the street from the house and went up to the front door. Frank would remain in the car for a few minutes and then follow. In that way, if the kidnappers were watching the house, they wouldn't be as likely to know that we were working on the case. I rang the bell and waited.
Yes, you're the police?
Yes, sir, that's right. My name's Friday.
Oh, hello. Come in, please, quickly. I don't want them to see you.
Who's there, sir?
The kidnappers. They might be watching. I don't know what I'm going to do. Terrible thing to have happen. Just doesn't make sense.
All right, now, sir, if you just try to calm down, tell me what happened here. Were you on satellite from the beginning?
All right. I got home from school about 4:30. Myra wasn't here. I looked to the house for her. Figured, like you said on the phone, that she might have gone to the store.
Uh-huh.
When I couldn't find her, I started looking for a note. That's when I found the ransom demand right there on the coffee table.
And you said you'd got home from school, is that it?
Yes, I teach political science at the university.
Well, when did you last see your wife?
When I left this morning, about 7:30. I have a class today.
Have you talked to her since?
Yes, I called her about 1:15.
Did everything seem all right then? I mean, did she seem to be upset or anything like that?
No, everything seemed to be normal.
Did she say if there was anyone with her when you talked to her?
No, if there was, she didn't give any indication of it.
I see.
No, but this isn't a hoax, if that's what you're thinking. I know that Myra wouldn't do a thing like this. She's a serious woman. I guess you might say that she had a rather dull sense of humor. No, I know that she wouldn't do a thing like this as a joke.
Well, if it's not that, I'm telling you all the facts here. What if I can see the note?
Yes, I left it over here on the desk.
That'll be my partner. I'll let him in if it's all right. Mr. Wagner is my partner, Frank Smith.
How do you do,
Mr. Wagner?
How do you do? I'll get us a note.
I'd rather you wouldn't handle it anymore, sir.
Oh, all right. You're going to try to get some fingerprints from us? Is that right?
Well, that's the idea, yes, sir. Can you read it, Joe? Yeah, it's made up of newsprint. You cut out of the paper. Looks like one of the morning papers.
Yeah.
I'll read it for you. Just put $10,000 in 5s, 10s, and 20s in a shoebox. Make sure the bills are unmarked. On July 8th, drive up Deer Canyon Drive at 10:30 p.m., 5 miles past the turnoff. You'll see a white string across the road. Drop the shoebox out of the car and go on back home. Your wife will be returned. Don't tell the cops. You tell anybody until your wife.
Deer Canyon Drive.
Yeah, you know, it's up above the wall.
Oh, yeah. $10,000. Do you have that kind of money, Mr. Wagner?
No, sir. I don't know how I'm going to raise it. I have to, but I don't know how I'm going to do it.
Have you noticed anyone lately that's been in the neighborhood here? Anybody wandering around without any reason to be here?
No, I haven't. Of course, you must understand I'm not home a great deal. But Myra didn't say anything about it. I'm sure she would have if she'd seen anybody like that.
You and your wife have any enemies that do a thing like this, did you know?
None that I can think of.
Do you have any household help?
I beg your pardon?
Household help. Anyone that comes in to help your wife with the housework, you know, a day or something like that.
Well, there's Betty Joe. She comes in once a week to clean up the house.
When did she last year?
Well, let's see, that was Saturday. That's the usual day, Saturday, I guess it was then.
Didn't you see her last week?
No. You see, I had to go out by Pomona this last weekend, a series of lectures I wanted to catch. I left early Saturday morning, didn't get back until late that night.
Did your wife go with you?
No, she stayed at home. She had a little touch of the virus and figured she'd better stay at home and take care of it. Are you sure this is the right thing to do? Maybe I should have handled it myself.
No, sir, you did the right thing. I wonder if you could give us a description of your wife, Mr. Wagner.
Why? You aren't going to tell anyone else about this, are you?
No, sir. The information will be handled in a confidential manner.
Oh. Well, I guess you men know what you're doing.
Well, I think we just give us a description, if you could.
Well, Myra is about 5'3".
Two men came up from the office and a stakeout was placed on the house. The note was taken downtown and photographed. Dean Bergman with several clean prints from it. However, comparison of those taken from Mr. Wagner eliminated them. The maid, Betty Joe, was contacted, but she could tell us nothing. In the meantime, Sergeant Jay Allen at the crime lab prepared a cue box as directed by the abductors. Dummy packages of money were placed in the box and the container was wiped clean of all fingerprints. The area where the meet was to take place was staked out. The following morning, Wednesday, July 8th, Henry Wagner went to teach his classes at the university as usual. Late in the afternoon, he returned home, and at 9:45 p.m., he got into his car and left the house. I'd gotten into the back seat of the car earlier, and I stepped out of sight. In an undercover unit behind us, Frank, Lieutenant Gorham, and Gillen soon kept us under observation in the event that we missed contact with the kidnappers. 10:26 p.m., we turned off Genovese Canyon on the Deer Canyon Drive.
I hope I'm doing the right thing. I can't help thinking of what they might do tomorrow.
Try to take it easy, Mr. Wagner. We know how you feel. Everything that can be done has been taken care of here.
That's what you've been telling me for the past hour. Doesn't make me feel any better about what's happening.
Can you still see that car behind us?
No. I think they dropped back when we turned off Benedict.
Uh-huh. How's it look up ahead?
Can't see much. Dark.
How far off the canyon have we come?
About 4.5 miles.
You got your box right there ready to throw it out?
Yes, sir. Right here on the seat.
All right, now remember, when you toss it out, try to lift it by the string.
Right, I'll remember. I just hope we're doing the right thing. I'll never forgive myself if anything happens tomorrow. $10,000 just isn't worth it. Wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
There it is. String across the road.
Anybody around it?
No. So dark. I can't see anything but what's in front of the car.
How close are we to the place here?
About 50 or 60 feet.
All right, now take it slow. Don't give any indication that you're not doing exactly what they told you to. Remember, don't handle that box. Hold it to the string.
All right. We're here. I'm throwing the box out.
All right, now close your door.
What now?
Walk the road a little, and then turn around and drive back. Act like everything is just the way they told you to handle it.
All right.
Take it easy now.
We can turn around here.
All right. You see anyone move for the money?
No, not yet. Maybe when I get turned around. The driveway here. Pretty dark back there.
I can't see anything at all.
Nothing there. I don't see anyone.
Fine, now just keep driving. If there's anybody to pick up the money, it'll look better if you don't cause any trouble.
I don't know about all of this, Sergeant. Somehow I still can't get the idea out of my mind that we've done the wrong thing. That they know all about it, that they're going to kill mine.
Now, there's no reason that they should know if there's anything wrong, Mr. Wagner. From what they can see, you're doing just what they told you. They got nothing to tell them any different here.
But what if they found out? What if they know that you're working on the case? What if they know about it? They might kill mine. I'll never forgive myself. I never should have told you about it. I should have taken care of it myself. They'll kill her. I know they will. They'll kill her because you're working on it. Where it is now, she hasn't got a chance.
No, you're wrong there, Wagner.
Hmm?
Yeah, I'll draw her side now. 10:45 p.m. Henry Wagner and I left the meeting place. About a mile down Deer Canyon Drive, Wagner dropped me off, and then he started down Benedict Canyon Drive and continued on home. I met with Frank, Lieutenant Gorham, and Sergeant Gillen, and he started back on foot. We cut off to the road and waited on the hill overlooking the meeting place. Frank told me that there'd been no activity on the road while Wagner and I were making the move. We moved in closer. 11:30 p.m. No sign of the kidnapper. The moon came up and we could see the white string across the road. In a patch of land below, we could see the shoebox containing the dummy packages of money. We waited. Midnight. 1:30 a.m. Still no sign of the kidnapper. 2:30. 4. At 4:45 a.m., the sun came up and Frank and I left the area. Lieutenant Dorn and Sergeant Gillen continued to stake the meeting place. If the kidnappers had been in the vicinity, we'd miss them. Our only course now is to wait for them to contact Henry Wagner again. 8:15 a.m. Frank and I checked out and went on home to take a shower and get something to eat. At 11:12 a.m. Thursday morning, we checked back into the office.
That's right, huh?
Yeah, there's nothing to show for it.
Anything from Gorman and Cena?
No, I don't see anything.
There's one thing I found out, but I need a heavier coat for night.
Yeah?
Saw an ad in the magazine. Advertise those English duffel coats. Look real good.
What?
Duffel coats. Worn in the North Atlantic during the war. You know, so they're real heavy. Got a hood that comes up. Should be real warm.
A hood?
Yeah, you know, like a monk wears. When you aren't wearing it, looks just like a collar. When it gets cold, you raise up the little gimmick, and there you are, warm as anything.
You know, Frank, somehow I just can't see you in there.
Yeah? Well, I noticed you weren't too warm last night. Next time we do duty like that, I'm going to be ready for it.
Yeah. Like a monk.
I guess. Homicide fighting.
Yes.
Oh, yes, Mr.
When was that?
Uh-huh.
Yes, sir, right away.
Well, that's it.
Huh?
The Wagner woman. She's home.
Frank and I drove out to the Wagner home. The officers on stakeout told us that Mrs. Wagner had walked into the house at about 11 o'clock that morning. As soon as she'd gotten inside the house, she collapsed. The family doctor had been called, and she was treated for shock. Other than some scratches on her arms and around her face, she was unharmed. The officers told us that they'd been unable to interrogate her so far. We talked to the doctor, and he told us that we could talk to her until we said it was triple effect.
Honey, these are policemen. They want to ask you a few questions.
What?
Police officers, honey. There's Mr. Friday and there's Mr. Smith.
Oh, yes.
They want to ask you some questions, dear, about the people who took you.
Oh, all right.
It won't take very long, Miss Wagner.
That's all right. I want to help you get them.
All right, now, if you just tell us how it happened.
How it happened?
Yes, ma'am.
Sergeant, you have to do this now, maybe later when she's rested.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Wagner. We haven't got much choice here. We'd like to get to the people who did this. If we wait until later, we might not be able to get them.
Yes, I didn't think of that. Well, if the doctor says it's all right, go ahead.
Miss Wagner?
Yes?
Do you know the people who did it? The people who took you?
No.
You never seen them before?
No, never.
All right, now, could you just tell us what happened?
I guess so. They came to the door about 2:30.
Who was they, ma'am?
Well, I just saw a man. Later, when we got into the car, there was a woman, too.
All right, go ahead.
They told me Henry had been in an accident, that he'd been hurt, that he was at the hospital. Said they wanted to take me to him.
Yes, ma'am.
I didn't know any different. I went with him. I thought that Henry was hurt. I didn't know any different.
You have to do this, officer. She's home, safe. That's all I care about. That's all that's important. I should let her get some rest. Then you can talk to her. Talk as much as you want to. But please, you can see what this is doing to her.
Yes, sir. Well, look, this isn't easier on us. We've got a job to do here. Like we haven't, she was gone. You know how you feel, but we'd like to get to those people.
It's all right, Henry. I'm all right, dear.
Where did they take you, ma'am?
First, I think they were going to take me to a house near here. I didn't notice the street, but it was near here. I'm sure of that. Then when we got near there, I knew that something was wrong. That they weren't going to take me to Henry like they said. I knew it then.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I told them to let me out of the car. Said that they'd better let me go.
Mm-hmm.
The woman, who was in the back seat with me, said for me to keep my mouth closed. I tried to get out the door and she hit me. Then the two of them got into an argument. The man started to yell at the woman that it wasn't any good, that they'd better forget the whole thing. And the woman said that they'd gone too far for that now, that they had to go through with it.
Uh-huh.
So, then they put a blindfold on me, tied my hands and blindfolded me, and then they started to drive.
Well, any time did either of them use a name, you know, in talking to each other?
No, I don't think so. At least if they did, I don't remember it.
Uh-huh. Go ahead, Miss Wagner.
Then they started to drive. I couldn't see where they were going, but I know that they headed out the Aurora Seacoast toward Pasadena. I could tell from the way we went. Then I heard the woman talk about the turnoff to get on the seacoast. Right then the man told her to shut up.
Yes, ma'am.
We drove for quite a while and then stopped. Then maybe got out and took me into a house.
Did you have any idea where you were at the time, ma'am?
No, I didn't.
Go ahead, ma'am.
Well, they took me into the house and put me in a room. Tied me up. I couldn't move, couldn't do anything. They locked the door and I could hear them arguing in the next room. Man was really telling the woman off. Said that she was a fool, that she'd really botched the whole thing up.
I see.
That night, they brought in a plate of food, told me it was time to eat. All there was some prunes. That's what they said all the time. He was there, pruned. Never did take the blindfold off.
Was there anything at all that would let you know where you were?
Oh, a couple of things. It's probably kind of silly, but maybe you can make something out of them.
What's that mean?
Well, there was a clock that was in the room where they had me, one of those time clocks, told every 15 minutes, like Westminster time.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't think it was a very big clock. Time sounded small.
Mm-hmm.
Then there were the trains.
Trains?
Yes, every once in a while I'd hear trains going past. Sounded like they were near, maybe a couple of blocks away, not much more than that.
But do you think that you could give us a description of the man and woman was riding?
Yes, I think so. First, I was so upset with thinking that Henry was hurt that I didn't notice, but I think I can describe him for you.
All right, that'll be fine.
There's one thing, though.
What's that?
I'd be positive if I saw him.
Noon, we continued to talk to the Wagner woman. She gave us a description of the man and woman who had kidnapped her and a description of the car they'd used. We called the information into the office and a local and an HTV were gotten out. We ran the description to R&I, but we got no make. 2:45 p.m. As one of the possibilities for identifying the locality described by Mrs. Wagner, Frank and I left the house and drove to the office of one of the milk companies in the city. We talked to the driver that handled the area in which Mrs. Wagner said the kidnappers were going to stop. We couldn't identify the man and the woman from the description. We set two more milk companies, and on the third, we got a tentative identification. The driver of the route told us that we could be asking about a Mr. and Mrs. Thomas Harper, he thought. He gave us their address, and Frank and I drove out there. On the way, we called the names into R&I and had them make a check for us. They said they had a record on the Thomas Harper who entered the description. He served time from San Quentin and in Folsom Penitentiary. He's been sentenced both times for armed robbery and ABW. There was no record on Mrs. Harper and no warrant for the present time for her husband. 5:57 p.m.
I'm going to try it again.
All right. Probably aren't in.
The car park down the street here could be there. Check from that description we got from the Wagner woman.
Looks like somebody's coming.
Yeah, what do you want?
You Thomas Harper?
Yes, sir.
Police officers, I'd like to talk to you.
What about?
I'd like to talk to you.
All right,
fine.
Who
is it, Tom?
Cops.
What do they want?
They don't want to talk. I don't know what about.
It's a routine investigation.
What are you trying to kid?
What do you mean by that, Harper?
Somebody's done something, you need a pigeon. I got a record, so I'm right for you guys to win.
What's the matter? You got something to worry about?
Not a thing in the world, but I know you guys, you're going to try.
What do you want, anyway?
Did people tell us your activities for the past 4 days?
What for?
To tell us, will you?
Tell us. You got an angle you wouldn't be here. You're trying to pin something on us, and you know it.
You want to tell us what you've been doing?
We haven't left the house at all.
Can you prove that?
Prove it away, you? You got no right to come in here and ask a lot of questions.
He's right. You haven't got any right to do that. Now, either you pull us in or get out of here.
All right, Harper. Get ready to leave anyway. We'll see you later. Yeah, let's go, Frank.
Bye.
We better call the officer in the house today. Ms. Wagner feels better. We'll have to see if she can make an identification here, huh?
I don't think that'll be too hard, Joe.
Hmm? Oh,
they throw from the gas dumpling on the table in there.
Yeah.
Hop and pass it here.
Harper's mugshot had been pulled and sent to the Wagner home for identification. Mrs. Wagner was going to set it at 7:15 p.m. Frank and I drove out to Pasadena. We got in touch with the police department out there, and two officers were assigned to accompany us to the address on the gas bill. The house was unoccupied, and there were advertising papers strewn all about on the lawn. With the officers, we entered the house and went through it. In some of the rooms were pieces of furniture, and in the living room of the house, we found a mantel clock that chimed on the quarter hour. On an end table, we found a ball of white string. It looked like the same type that had been used to mark the meeting place up on Deer Canyon Drive. In one of the back bedrooms, we found prune seeds scattered around on the floor. A stakeout was arranged on the house. We contacted the men watching the Harper residence and found that the suspects were still there. 9:56 p.m. Frank and I arrived back at the Harper home in Hollywood. The lights were out and the house was dark. Frank went around to the back of the house.
Yeah? What do you want this time of the night? Did you guys ever give up?
All right, Harper, let's get dressed. We'll talk to you downtown.
You sound a pinch to me?
Call it.
For what?
Kidnapping.
Oh, you're mine.
Come on, get dressed.
Who is it, honey?
Cops, they kidnapped somebody.
What?
Well, there's an idea he kidnapped somebody.
Hey, kidding.
Wait, no, no, Harper. You better get dressed, too. Anybody else in the house?
Yeah, we take in four.
Yeah, get smart. Where's that door go?
Bedroom.
The one bedroom here?
That's right. We're roughing it.
There's the kitchen over there?
Yeah.
All right, come on. How about the bath?
In there.
All right, we'll all go. Come on. Go out the backyard.
Yeah, stop. You figure it out.
Okay, Frank.
Everything all right there, Joe?
Yeah, fine.
You ain't kidding about the kidnap thing, are you?
No, let's go.
It makes you figure it might be us.
You got a house in Pasadena?
Why do you ask that?
You got one.
No.
You're lying. Property records in Pasadena say you have. We checked the house, and that's the one we're looking for.
That right?
That's right. We got the woman you kidnapped. She's identified your picture, you and your wife.
She couldn't identify me. I ain't got a record.
You ain't taking me no place.
Get out of the way.
Hold it.
All right, come on. On your feet.
Okay. He's clean. Hands behind you. I told you what had happened. I told you we should let it go right away. I told you.
Oh, shut up.
You and your bright ideas. $10,000, easy. You and your bright ideas. Well, what a job.
Look, Buster. You didn't yell instead of getting your hot little hands on that dough. You all poor Sam. Well, we lost. What do you want me to do about it? Break down and ball?
I know. Should have known from the beginning. I had nothing but trouble with you from the start. Always wanting something easy. Always wanting big money. Never satisfied.
That's the trouble with kids. God losers. Great winners, but bad losers. Well, you're a big boy now. You lost. That's all there is to it. Stop whining.
Easy for you to say. If you're through with me, I'll be in for life. You got no record.
She has now. Let's go.
You have just heard was true. The names were changed to protect the innocent. On November 10th, trial was held in Department 98, Superior Court of the State of California, in and for the County of Los Angeles. In a moment, the results of this trial. Thomas Fenton Harper was tried and found guilty of kidnapping. He was sentenced to life imprisonment in the state penitentiary, Folsom, California, without possibility of parole. His wife, Alice Mabel Harper, received a life sentence and is now in the California Institution for Women, Corona, California.